time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and he's on, yes, at 11:14 and a half. And how are you all doing today? Are you ready for the rain today in the breezy conditions? But right now, I see the rays of sun coming through our door. And that, I tell you, is such nice, visionary type of thing. Sunshine, oh boy, you can't beat it. Okay, now let's get back to our questions. And the fact that if you can give me the correct answer to my questions, I can register you for a drawing of $20, a $20 gift certificate from Walmart. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and what else do I have? Oh, I've got a Jeg's coffee cup you'd rather have, or a meal at McDonald's. I've got all that. The time is 11:15, and my next question, let's go to Caledonia. Okay, now in Caledonia, it's like most towns. It's not like what it used to be. Most towns are moving. Well, Marion's a good example, and Galleon. Bucyrus pretty well anchored down, though, their downtown area, even though they expanded some to the east. But Caledonia also, of course, had a very flourishing downtown at one time, not too many years ago. But now what I would like to know is the name of the only hardware store in Caledonia. Name the Caledonia hardware store that used to be. And 7403-39944. Okay, you Caledonians, would you like to be registered to win a $20 Walmart gift card? Oh, here's somebody that knows. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Caldwell's Hardware.
What was that now?
Caldwell.
Caldwell?
Yeah.
I never heard of a Caldwell.
Oh.
A Caldwell hardware store?
Yeah. Or was it Mays?
It was Mays.
Okay. Oh. I don't know where I came up with that either.
That's interesting, though. Okay, now, I'll put your name down here for that drawing.
Okay, Charlie. Okay. I'm sorry.
Caldwell, yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah, what's your name?
Sharon Russell.
Oh, Sharon, okay. Oh, my goodness.
Was there ever Caldwell's Hardware anywhere?
Not that I know.
Well, where have I come up with that? What was the name of the people that owned it?
Yeah, I know it was, I don't know her first name, but her last name was May. I think I was one of the last customers there.
Oh, I used to love that place with those big fans.
Yes, and on her shelf, she had such old merchandise. She had a whole row of Boy Scout lanterns that now are worth 20 or 30 bucks on the antique market.
That was a neat place,
Charlie. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even though I called it something else.
Pretty good. Okay. Well, Sharon, I'm glad you called, and good luck.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. May Hardware Store in Caledonia. All right. Got that. Now, let's stay in Caledonia for a moment or two. Can you tell me what church is located next to the boyhood home of W.G. Harding? What church? Can you name the church that's located next to the former home of Warren G. Harding, when he was a boy, that is. 7403-39944. What's the name of the church next to the boyhood home of Warren G. Harding? Okay. Don't all call at once. Okay. 11:18 and a half is the time. Yes, indeed. May Hardware in Caledonia. That was something. I'm glad I got there a few times before it finally closed, like everything else. Well, there's still American Legion Post 401 in that block. And there's the Edler's pizza shop there. And that's about, oh, and the library, too, in that block. And so it goes. George Kasotis was born across the street in a building that's no longer there. 11:19 is the time. And what did I ask you if you... Oh, yes, the name of the church next to the home of Warren G. Harding. I'll give you maybe an easier one. Name the last grocery store in Caledonia. The name of the last grocery store in Caledonia. Now, I know there's a General Dollar out in front. That's not... I'm not counting that. But, you know, there are... The grocery store that was in the center of downtown Caledonia. What was its name? Now, the widow is still alive, but the man that ran that made bratwurst and, oh, and tied everything with strings like they used to years ago. What was the name of the last grocery store in Caledonia? 7403-839-944. And the time is 10:20. Or can you tell me what's the name of the church that's next door to the home of the boyhood Warren G. Harding? Okay. So that's three questions about Caledonia. The Warren Harding home, the boyhood home, the name of the grocery store, the last grocery store in Caledonia. And, of course, May Hardware, which we got the answer to that. Okay. Yeah, I thought I'd get some answers pretty quick there. Okay, let's go to another question here. An Indian in his travels relied on a certain tree. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, the Methodist Church is the church you're looking for, yes. And Reese's Grocery was the other one.
Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right on the ball. Okay, and I'll put you in the drawing here for that $20 gift certificate.
Okay.
And what is your name?
Doris.
Doris?
Hindman, H-I-N-D-M-A-N.
Okay, Doris. Glad to have you listening.
Okay.
Okay, good luck. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, that was the Reese's Grocery Store and, of course, the Caledonia United Methodist Church. Okay, hey, we're doing all right today. Now, let's get back to the Indian. You can see him now paddling his way down the Olentangy, stopping only for log jams. Now, I've done that, you see. I know what I'm talking about. Log jams. Oh, well, that's... For a canoeist or a canoer, that's the most terrible thing you run into, log jams. You should have seen the log jams we ran into when we had to race down Grave Creek to Waldo. Or the jams that I ran into with going down the Kuqua Ditch to Waldo in a canoe. Yes, I made good use of my canoe, and now my canoe just hangs on the barn wall, just saying, take me out and put me in the river. Yeah, no more. Okay, now let me see. What have I got here? Oh, yes, here's this Indian floating down the Olentangy. And he's relying on a particular kind of tree to furnish the material for his transportation. Now, what is that Indian, what kind of a tree is that Indian looking for to help supply transportation? Hmm. Now, you have to kind of think this one out. You have to know your history of Indian transportation. What tree was the most benefit to an Indian in transportation? 740-383-9944. And speaking of that, I have another question here. I don't want to give all my questions. Well, yeah. There was an Indian tribe, and they were in the Marion area at one time. I can't give you the full name of the tribe. I want you to give me the full name. But the first three letters of that Indian tribe was P-O-T. Now, what was that tribe? The first three letters were P-O-T. Now, after I'm finished here today, I'll have to spend some more time thinking up questions for tomorrow. Okay, can you name the Indian tribe that starts with the letters P-O-T? Or can you tell me what tree was a benefit to the Indians in transportation? You know, you got to kind of think these out a little bit. Okay? And, well, here's another one you can think about. There was a disaster on what is now Interstate Route 77 that starts in northern Ohio and goes down, I think, to Marietta, Interstate 77. Now, on that same road or road nearby, there was an aerial disaster, and many men were killed in this aerial disaster. Now, it was an airship, or wasn't exactly what you would call a blimp, but we would call it an airship. It crashed on what is now Interstate 77. A lot of men were killed in that crash. Now, what I want you to do is name that airship. Name the airship. It was a very famous incident in history, believe me. And there is a marker along Interstate 77 showing where that disaster happened. 740-383-9944. Or can you tell me what Indian tribe starts with the letters P-O-T? What Indian tribe has first three letters of P-O-T? Now, there's a lot more letters than that. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 letters in that tribe. But the first three are P-O-T. 1126 is the time. And I need to know what tree was a benefit to the Indians in transportation. 740-383-9944. Or if, you know, it would really be interesting. Now, the person would have to be quite elderly now to be able to tell what Marion was like in the early years of World War II when the Marion Engineer Depot was bustling. Oh, here we go. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, if I'm registered for that gift card,
yes,
I can't win anything. Or that's a win, right?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, so I can't give the Indian tribe, huh?
Well,
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If at 5 till 12, no one's called in before then.
Okay.
I'll call in with it.
Excellent. That's a deal.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Yeah, okay. The Indian tribe, starting with the letters P-O-T. Now, again, I would love to have somebody relate the feelings, the atmosphere of Marion in the early years, like 1941, 42, 43. What all was happening in Marion? Now, we know what was happening east of Marion. The Engineer Depot and the bomb plant where they made, and I actually talked to a lady who was a supervisor in that bomb plant, but I'm sure she's gone by now. I think most people, well, Gus Judy, he worked there and he's gone. Do you know anyone still living that worked in the bomb plant? But there's a bit of Marion history that should be brought out or could be brought out to relate what was going on in this town, especially economically. how much did Marion benefit from the hundreds or thousand people that came and set up residence in Marion during the war years? You know, there were buildings that were built to house them, and a lot of extra people. How many extra businesses developed to supply the needs? Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
My grandma, when I was a little girl, told me that she almost cut her finger off working at a bomb factory.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, she had a scar on her finger. And I said, Grandma, how'd you get that scar? She said, making a bomb. I thought she was just pulling my leg. I didn't believe it. I didn't know until I was older what she was even talking about.
Yeah. You know, there's
Did you know today's Pi Day?
It is Pi Day?
Mm-hmm.
Nationally?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Because you know, Pi, the 3.14,
yeah.
And
yes.
It's March 14th.
That's, you're right.
So, happy Pi Day, Charlie.
Okay,
have
thank
a good
you.
Show.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, it's 3.14, yeah. Pi Day. Oh, my goodness. I forgot all about that. We're coming up on 11:30. Now, what is pi good for? What is the formula pi used for? Mathematicians, are you there? Okay, we're going to break right now. We'll be back. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about pi. How is pi used? Okay. Yeah, there are some mathematicians that should know. We'll be right back.
Scott, did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, here we go. Oh, I have a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead. Are you there?
Oh, I was hoping to catch you during the commercial to see if my guess of the Indian tribe was right.
Oh.
That's all.
Okay.
So I'll have to wait till 5 till.
Yeah, okay. All right, now, where was I? Let me see here. Now yesterday, Mr. McFeely, David Newell, called. And we had quite a nice conversation. And he remembered my daughter, Kathy. I mistakenly said Amy. Of course, he also met Amy. But he remembered Kathy. Now, my daughter, Kathy, was just a very young person the first time she saw Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And she had his picture, or her picture, taken with a Speedy Delivery or David Newell, but he remembered her, and you know, that's outstanding. David Newell, who played the part of the mailman, is such a very sincere and nice person. Okay, 11:32 is the time. Now, what tree was a benefit to the Indians in transportation? Figure that one out. Yeah, no, they didn't go cruising down a creek on a log. They had a canoe. What tree was a benefit to the Indians in transportation? Or can you tell me the name of the airship that crashed? Had been north of Caldwell, Ohio, way back in the 1920s or 30s. Crashed, killing quite a few members of its crew. There's a marker in the field marking it, but what was its name? What was the name of that airship that crashed? All right? And get that, or tell me what kind of a tree
would an Indian use to help him navigate rivers? Now, he wouldn't, no, he didn't float on a tree. He used a tree for something special. What was it? Or can you tell me the Indian tribe that started with the letters P-O-T? Yes, there was a tribe like that around here. Okay, let's see, what else do I have here? Oh, here's an easy one. Let me see, I can, yeah, I can, I got enough cards here, can register some more people. I can register you for that $20 Walmart gift if you can tell me two flowers that harbinger, that are harbingers of springtime. Two flowers that are harbingers of good old springtime. 7403-39944. Tell me, what two flowers are the beginnings of spring? I thought my phone would light up immediately. And I can register you for that $20 Walmart gift card that I'll be giving away tomorrow. It'll be a fun day tomorrow. Okay, 11:34 and a half is the time. And today is Thursday. Pi Day. Oh, that's right. Who can tell me what is pi used for? The 3, March 14th, 314. What is pi used for? 740-383-9944. I don't know. I'm not a mathematician, as you may know. I always, in school, I was lost when it came to adding fractions, dividing fractions, and that was just the beginning. Fractions were long before algebra, let alone all the other higher maths. But what did pi have to do with all that? How is pi used? Now, you'll hear that all day today. Pi Day, 314. Yeah. Okay, 740-383-9944. What tree was a benefit to the Indians in transportation? Or can you name the airship that crashed on what is now Interstate 77? I have to have another drink here. Ooh, the phone is lighting up. Okay, phone, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
How about the pronunciation of that Indian tribe? You said the first three letters was P-O-T?
P-O-T.
What was the next one? Would it be a A-W-A-T-O-M-I?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
How do you pronounce that?
Potawatomi.
Yeah, Eastern Woodland, Southern, and I hate to bust Terry's bubble, but... I just got the encyclopedia out, and I went down there, and I saw that there.
No kidding. Potawatomi is in the encyclopedia.
Yeah, and you know what? Just to remember the birch bark canoe.
Oh, you got it.
I think most of us was kind of like that kind of stuff, the Indian culture and stuff like that. I had a small bit birch bark canoe, and it was really interesting. I don't know what ever happened. I think I floated in too many... puddles and stuff, and it just deteriorated.
I can remember.
It was a wonderful time. I always loved the Indian, everything about pertaining to Indians.
How would you make a birch bark canoe waterproof and so forth? What, did they use tar or something?
Well, I don't know how they done that, but maybe back in the days of the Indians, maybe the birch bark was pretty good size. I don't know what size of tree they would actually be in those days.
Yeah, you can tell which tree it was. It had no bark on it, left on it.
Yeah, mostly they, peeling it off and stuff and joining it together and overlapping it, I don't know. That I bet you 100 to 1 all our resources and stuff is on this planet day one, and they found out what resource to use to make that hold together for a while.
The birch bark canoe, yes. Oh.
Well, they didn't go too many turbulence waters, I don't believe. They
probably not.
They don't... Yeah. Hey, Charlie, nice talking to you.
Okay, thanks. All right.
The birch bark canoe, the tree the Indians needed for transportation. The birch tree, yes. Now, there are a number of, how many birch trees are there? There is one birch that was susceptible to disease, and what was it called? It had a number of shoots coming out, not just one single coming up. It was a, what did they call that? Not a river birch, was it? But they were susceptible to disease. And then there's the yellow birch. The yellow birch tree you'll find not too prominent around here, maybe in southern Ohio, and for sure in Canada, the yellow birch. But I don't know if they would have ever used the bark of the yellow birch, because it didn't seem to me to have any loose bark on it. Yellow birch. Okay, now what else do I have? The two harbingers of spring, flower-wise. What are they? I don't know if there's any through. I don't think there's any through the ground. They may be poking their head up almost above the ground now, but they soon will be in full bloom. What two flowers? There's probably more than just two. I know in the woods behind our house, there is a flower that comes up every year, and you could close your eyes and find it because it's a purple hyacinth. Have you ever smelled any flower with more fragrance than a hyacinth, especially the purple hyacinth? Now, among this little patch of hyacinths in the woods, they probably came about from maybe somebody that lived near there that threw away a bunch of flowers, and here they planted themselves, and they've been coming up every year for as many years, well, for at least 40 years I can remember, and you can smell them. Oh, smells so good. Purple hyacinth. Now, that's a spring flower, of course. That's not the one I'm thinking of. There are two others that are very prominent every spring. You'll see them in many yards if you travel through town or through the countryside. It's not the lily, the orange lily that you see along the roads, but there are two flowers you'll find very prominent in the springtime. 11:41's the time. Boy, time is flying today, isn't it? Especially when you're having fun. Name a couple of the flowers, harbingers of spring, or name the airship that crashed just north of Caldwell, Ohio, that resulted in, you know, the death of quite a few men that were in that airship. And I once, somebody, when I had a business, I had a man come in, and he brought this thing in. He said, "I bet you don't know what this is." I said, "No." He said, "That's the instrument panel out of that airship I'm talking about." He was a souvenir collector. You know, as always is the case, souvenir collectors are first on the scene generally trying to get a piece of something or other. But this guy had the instrument panel out of that airship. Now, what was its name? Okay, and what else haven't I asked you today? The two spring flowers. I've got the businesses in Caledonia. Let me see if I can think of another business in Caledonia. Oh, yeah, I know. There's been a lady in Caledonia that has offered to teach kids dancing for years. And, oh, my land, it goes way back. Now, if you give me her name, you know, this is a tribute to her. If you can name the lady in Caledonia that teaches dancing, why, 740-333-9944. How about that? That ought to be easy. Where are you Caledonians? Well, you don't have to be in Caledonia to know that. 11:43. We'll be breaking here in a couple of minutes. Yes, name the dance factory in Caledonia. The lady in charge. Okay. Or name the airship that crashed down near Caldwell, Ohio. And that's about all the questions I've got. Oh, and the
Harbingers of Spring. Oh, I can see them now. In fact, I had, while I was in Marion General Hospital, a neighbor of mine, Mrs. Lyon, brought me a bouquet of spring flowers. Oh, they were so great, and they lasted and they lasted. And now that they're drying up, I'm going to plant them. Now, I've got flowers that bloom along our house that were there when we moved there. They were probably planted up to 100 years ago, and they bloom every year, come shooting through the ground every year. Alliums, for one. An allium is a beautiful flower. It has a round flowery head, and then it goes to seed, and the seed works rather well. I've got seed planted from last year I hope produces this year. Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, before I forget it, I know the guy that's got that big potbelly stove over there in Caledonia, and he's got it in his pole barn. Now, I've worn my feet and hands around it this winter, and I imagine there's thousands of others got the remnants of that in their mind.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, it's still working, and it's still in Marion County.
Well, that's good to hear. Okay.
Okay, Charlie.
All right, thanks. Okay. We're coming up on 11:45. We're next to the last 15 minutes of the program today. So, stay tuned. Don't go away. You never know what you'll miss.
Hey, Charlie. Did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again for the final 15 minutes here on WWGH. And by the way, too, if you have anything loose out in your yard, like garbage cans, things like that, secure them because we're going to get rather windy yet today. And so if you have any loose items around your house, fasten them down because we've got some real winds coming our way. Now, you heard Keith Sider talking here earlier in the program. Keith is from Marion, Ohio. Dr. Sider, he's a doctor of meteorology. Harding High School graduate. He called and told about the storms as they march across this country. Okay, now, I still haven't received the names of the two spring flowers that are very prominent. And if you can tell me, I'll register you for that $20 gift certificate at Walmart. Yeah. Sounds good, doesn't it? And a little while ago, I was seeing the sunshine coming through our window, and now I see it. It's kind of gray. So the sunshine went south or east or west or somewhere. And like I say, it is going to get windy today, so you want to make sure that you've got things anchored down out in your yard, especially garbage cans. There's nothing worse than driving down the road, and all of a sudden in front of you is this garbage can. Now, what do you do? If you swerve, you may go off the road. If you stop, somebody might pile in the back end of you. So keep them contained to your yard. Okay, so the Potawatomi Indians we had earlier, the Potawatomi. Now, if anyone can tell me what was unusual about a Potawatomi Indian, I don't know. Where did they live in the Marion area? But they were all around here, the Potawatomis. I wonder what they called themselves. Okay, we have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Charlie, would those be daffodils and crocuses?
Well, you're right, Ted. Yes, they certainly would be.
You know, all the years we had that home away from home down there in the hills, when I roamed the hills, Charlie, you could tell the old homesteads up in the hills, they would have those daffodils. They would just come up volunteering. They'd just be on the right side of the hillside there, and they'd just be beautiful, and you could tell. And I asked some of the old-timers, said, clear up there, back of Sharon Hollow, was that a house back in there? He said, it sure was. And I said, well, I was by there. I walked by there the other day, and I said, down by Cave Hollow. And I said, I saw that. And he said, it sure was. And I said to myself, self, how did they ever get a horse and buggy back up in there? But I think they left the buggy down, and they'd bring the horse down and latch it up and go into town. That would be 12 miles into Pomeroy.
Yes, okay. So, Pomeroy's the only...
The old foundation sites, the daffodils. Beautiful,
yes,
flower.
Yes, for sure, yeah. Very good, yeah, okay. Now, Pomeroy, that's the only city on the Ohio River that faces the Ohio River. Pomeroy is, you know, their business district and everything lies parallel to the Ohio River. And I think that's one of the only cities that I've read about this. That's how I knew. The only city that faces entirely the Ohio River. And, of course, you go along the Ohio River. Have you ever bicycled, like I have, along the Ohio River or driven a car? It's worth the trip. You can see how people live and have lived along a river that floods almost every year. And you know why it floods? Because things like the Scioto River drain into it. Now, the Scioto River drains into, and so does the Muskingum River, and I don't know how many other rivers that flow through Ohio help raise the height of the Ohio River. Now, I don't know how deep the Ohio River on an average is. It might be interesting. I don't know if that's an interesting statistic or not. Oh, boy. But can you imagine being the captain of a tugboat and you're pushing all these barges down the Ohio River, and to keep them going straight? What would you do if a barge got away from you and headed toward the bank? Oh, my goodness. You wouldn't want to think of that. Okay, otherwise, can you tell me the name of the airship that crashed north of Caldwell, Ohio, on the right-hand side of the road? There's a monument. Many men were killed. And it was quite a well-known airship. What was its name? Yes, we got the daffodil and crocus, okay. Two harbingers of spring. Oh, they're so beautiful. Wow, and like I say, I had them in my hospital room, and it was, looking at those flowers just kind of cheer you up. 11:51's the time right now, and let's see what else. So yesterday I gave credit to all the people who work in the hospital and nursing home institutions, dedicated people. I tell you, when you look at those, you say, well, I sure wouldn't want that job, but I tell you, there's a... And the families, like the young ladies who may be married and have a family and have to manage children and a husband. And I ran into one that said her husband worked all night and she worked all day and they never saw each other. But that happens. Today, people engaged in making a living and trying to keep their heads above water have to do a lot of things that are not necessarily a lot of fun. But, and so it goes. 11:52, and like I said yesterday, thank goodness for Tri-Rivers and Marion Tech for supplying people that can go right out and, you know, be skilled in their jobs. Today, well, look what happened to all these movie stars that paid big dollars to get their kids in college. For what reason? Yeah, that's a good question. For what reason did they want their kids in college? It wasn't an education, you can tell that, because the kid wasn't smart enough to pass the test to get into college. So they gave thousands and thousands of dollars in bribes to get their kids. Can you imagine? Now, here in Marion, we've got training schools, and they do all around Ohio, too. Technical schools teaching kids skills without going to college. Well, otherwise, do you go to college to become a bricklayer or a carpenter or a plumber or an electrician? Yeah, kind of interesting, isn't it? Rather, trade schools, so desperately needed. 11:53 is the time, and how are you today? Anyone else have what was it like? And of course, there's no one probably listening that can remember World War II, the atmosphere in Marion at that time. What all was happening? How were we accommodating all the additional workers that came to Marion to work at the depot and at the bomb factory? And there were hundreds and thousands of people necessary for that. And then after the war, that land that was more or less taken from farmers was returned, but they didn't always get what they had lost. So it's been quite an era. 11:54 right now, so we still have a few minutes left in the program today. I've got quite a few people registered for that drawing coming up tomorrow. And I tell you what, it's 11:55, and I'll tell you what, the next person that calls, I will register you. The big drawing will be tomorrow, of course. But if you call right now, I'll take your name and put your name in with the others. The time is 11:56, 740-33-9944. Anyone like to call and get registered to win a $20 gift certificate from Walmart? We sure do appreciate getting that $20 gift certificate to give away. Wow. Okay, here's our caller. Okay, caller.
Yeah, Charlie, I'll tell you how it was back in the 40s. I was born in 41.
Yeah.
So I talk like you and George.
Yes.
You know, I was 2 years old. I can tell you exactly what it was like because my father raised four of us in our family, and he was a molder to commercial steel, and he worked hard, and he walked to work from Oakland Heights out there and didn't have any car, and he come home, and he took care of us. That's how Marion went.
Yeah.
The hard-working blue-collar workers, buddy.
Hard workers.
They kicked ass every day, and the moms they were stay-at-home moms, real stay-at-home moms.
Yes.
That's how we had a good caliber of people.
Boy.
That's how Marion was. That's how it was all over the world there during that period of time. Hard-working people.
Boy, you said it. Yeah, I know in my own family, my dad went to the Navy, and my mother worked at the General Electric plant, had only a bicycle in the winter and summer, whatever.
My mother had children to take care of and dishes to wash and food to put on the table, and that's where mothers was in those days.
That's
except
right.
Except for a few, yes, like yours. They went and had to do that because they was the only one providing the money for the family.
And my mother, when she came home from work, started knitting sweaters for the Navy.
Yep.
Boy.
Yeah, there's hard-working men and women, buddy. They had guts, and I said guts, buddy. They hung right in there. I don't care how tough it was. And you know yourself at your age group. My brother, the oldest brother, was born in 31, and he died 6 years old. But that group of people in there, they went through it all, buddy.
Well, they sure did, yes.
They did.
Wouldn't that make some interesting reading if people would write about their experiences? Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I know how it was. I could see the men and the women, and they all stuck together in the neighborhood. You didn't have to worry about nothing. They all pooled together, and anything come up, it was taken care of immediately.
Yes, for sure.
Immediately it was taken care of, and it was cleaned up, fixed up, or whatever had to be done immediately. There wasn't no this if, and, or what.
Right, that's for sure.
Thanks, Charlie.
Okay. All right, and one other thing I remember, we used to have blackouts. They were, they were scheduled, I think. I don't know how we were told to turn off all of our lights. Because if the enemy was flying over the United States,
they could look down and see all the lights, and they could bomb us. Yeah, that's the truth. And we were told we had practice periods of lights out, and we had a civil defense man that walked the streets, and if he saw a light on, he would rap on your door and say, "Get that light off." Yeah, that was a... Can you imagine that happening today? Of course, there's no need for that to happening today. But back when we thought we were going to get bombed, we had to take measures to try to prevent that. And the lights out meant that maybe enemy planes wouldn't know there was a town down below. My. And then right after the war, we were in fear of the Russians, for one thing. And we had towers. Did Marion have a tower erected where people could stand in it with binoculars looking for airplanes? We did in Bucyrus. We had the airplane manuals handed out with the description of enemy planes. And people would take turns standing in that little tower with their eyes to the sky to report anything unusual. Oh, the time that has gone by. Interesting, eh? And we think today is interesting. Well, today is about over for me. I'll be back again tomorrow, and hope you have a good day today, and good luck for the drawing tomorrow that I'll be doing for the Walmart $20 gift card. And stay tuned now for the news and anything else of interest.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just on.
I just made up that answer.
Then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I think that nobody likes criticism. Sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why did you finally decide to speak, and how did it come about that you chose me to do the first interview?
Well, because you've been very kind, very fair. You don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth. I like that. And I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games. This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email Scott at WWGH1071.com and watch out for the chopper. Vanover Village Townhouses, located in Marysville, now renting 2- and 3-bedroom townhouses. Telephone number.